Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by our pastor of Presence Evangelism, Pastor Margaret Michael. And Pastor Margaret's joined us before on Front Porch Talks. Pastor Margaret, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. It's warmed up a little bit, and I've thawed out, and I'm enjoying it before the next cold snap hits us. So today's a good day.
And Pastor Margaret is joining me today because at the time of this recording, Dad is out of town. Pastor Margaret, would you just like to start off letting us know what we're going to be talking about today?
Certainly. Actually, Pastor Joe here, one of the pastors on staff here at Harrisonburg First Church, asked me one day if I knew the name Ann Voskamp. And I said, well, I've heard of it. He kind of smiled, and he said, I think that she's someone that you would really enjoy reading. And she had somewhat of a similar upbringing, not totally like mine, but somewhat of a similar upbringing. And she also, as I began to read some of her work, I was drawn to it. She grew up on a farm, and she had this tragic accident, a farm accident, when she was young, and she lost a sister in that accident. And that event for her kind of changed everything, and I, too, was a witness of a farm accident when I was about 4 years old that I have never been able to get out of my mind. And for a lot of reasons, that it really changed our family dynamics. My older brother lost his leg in that farming accident. And when something like that comes, a tragedy like that comes to a family, I don't think there's any way that you can't be changed. So that's kind of where I'm coming from today, talking a little bit about, I'm actually going to share a devotional that Ann wrote in her book, 1,000 Gifts Devotional. It's actually devotional number 57 today. And, you know, she has learned in her life that gratitude has to become a lifestyle for her to be able to make it through some of her days. She had to begin to think about the things that were good in her life because there was a lot of bad. And so she began this idea in the book 1,000 Gifts of really taking a journal and writing down everything that you could think of, 1,000 things. And she said, you know, some people can do it in 3 days, some people can do it in 2 or 3 weeks, and for some people, it takes a year, but this idea of beginning to be aware of the good things in our life and having gratitude to the Lord for the things that are good, even things that come out of the bad. And so learning how to live out of the ashes of our hurt is a hard thing to do, but it is possible. And I believe that that is where looking for the things that are beautiful in our lives, whether it's the sunrise or the sunset, someone saying thank you, whatever, however small it may be to however big it may be, being aware of those things really changes our mindset. So that's kind of where we're going to go today.
Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Margaret, and certainly something like you experienced and like she experienced is a traumatic experience, I would think, especially for a small child, seeing that at such a young age and seeing how it has a great effect, your brother losing his leg and her sister dying from the accident. So if you want to go ahead with the devotional or the other thoughts that you were going to share about it.
Certainly. There's a word that she uses in her devotional, and I want to explain that a little bit before we dig into the devotional. The word is Eucharistio, and it comes right out of the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 29:19, we read where Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. And in the original language, he gave thanks is this Eucharistio word. And this is the root word charis, meaning grace. This is where this is coming from. Jesus took the bread and saw it as grace, and he gave thanks. Anne says about this word, she says, he took the bread and knew it to be a gift and gave thanks. Eucharistio, thanksgiving, envelops the Greek word for grace, charis, but also it holds its derivative, the Greek word chara, meaning joy. So charis, grace, Eucharistio, thanksgiving, chara, joy. So this is a word that's just packed with gratitude, and it speaks to this idea of thanksgiving when we give, that there's joy in that. And she says deep joy is found only at the table of thanksgiving. And she called it the holy grail of joy. This Eucharistio, this idea of communion. She said the holy grail of joy, God set it in the very center of Christianity. And so just getting an idea of and thinking about Jesus that day, sitting at the Last Supper, knowing that he was breaking bread and giving thanks in the presence of his greatest enemy. And he did it because it wasn't as much about him. It wasn't about him. It was what God's plan for his life. And so Jesus certainly knows and can identify in brokenness and hurt and betrayal. So I just wanted to get that in our minds before I read the devotional.
Pastor Margaret, that's a unique perspective, but certainly one that Jesus gave us the example of how we can give thanks and show gratitude even in troubling circumstances, even in the trials of life. We can thank him for maybe how he's going to use it or for bringing us out on the other side. And not that we won't have pain and heartache in these hard times, but we just need to trust God and his example. He was such a great example. Like you said, he broke bread and gave thanks the night before his crucifixion. And we need to give thanks and just search him in times of trouble and lean on him even more so maybe than we would regularly. We need to rely on him at all times, but specifically in times of trouble.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful picture, a beautiful example, and it goes so against our human will, what we want to do. But it's not about us, is it? Because we've been bought with a price, and we have been redeemed and set on our feet, and he wants to live through us. And my, think about how much grace has been extended to me. Why would I want to keep that from someone else? Yet in my humanness, being really transparent, there's times it's a little hard to extend it. But that's why we ask for the mind of Christ, so that we're not living in our own strength, doing things the way we think. But we have to have a rule by which we live. And God's word gives us such clear guidance in this area of what we're to do. And he tells us that we're not going to be able to do it without him. So I'm going to just share a little bit. I thought this was just a great devotional in that idea of Christ that night. He served in knowing that he was about to be crucified. He comes to give. And the scripture that goes with this is Isaiah 6, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. In an endless cycle of grace, he gives us gifts to serve the world. This is how to make a life great, and Eucharisto embarks us on the path. In Matthew 20, 26 and 27, we read these words, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." Outside my window, the whole of creation chooses just this. The leaves of the maple tree freely unfurl oxygen. Clouds overhead grow pregnant with rain to bless. The soil of our rich fields offer up yield. All his creation throbs with the joy in Eucharisto. It is more blessed to give than receive, from Acts 20. This is the way Jesus himself chose. This is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who were held hostage, from Matthew 20. It is the astonishing truth that while I serve Christ, it is He who serves me. Jesus still lives with a towel around His waist, bent in service to His people, in service to me as I serve, that I need never serve in my own strength. Jesus Christ, who came into this world not to be served but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many, Mark 10, will one day come again and put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat, Luke 12. And even this very day, He faithfully serves that we might say, "The Lord is my helper," from Hebrews 13:6. Every day for a month, we as a family read together Isaiah 58, and we can't get over it, and come to know it in the marrow and the fiber. And these are the words from Isaiah 58, 10 and 11. "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from darkness, and the darkness around you will become bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring." It is the fundamental, lavish, radical nature of the upside-down economy of God, empty to fill. While the deceiver jockeys to dupe us into thinking otherwise, we who are made in the image of God, being formed into Christ's likeness, our happiness comes too, not in the having, but in the handing over. Give your life away in exchange for many lives. Give away your blessings to multiply blessings. Give away so that many might increase. And do it all for the love of God. I can bless, pour out, be broken, and given in our home and the larger world, and never fear that there won't be enough to give. Eucharistio has taught me to trust that there is always enough God. He has no end. He calls us to serve, and it is Him whom we serve. But He, very God, kneels down to serve us as we serve. The servant-hearted never served alone. Spend the whole of your one wild and beautiful life investing in many lives, and God will not be outdone. God extravagantly pays back everything we give away, and exactly in the currency that is not of this world, but for the one we yearn for, joy in Him. And she ends with this short prayer: "Father God, the glorious God, from whom and through whom, to whom are all things, You reign, and You rain down blessings, that my life may become a blessing. Lord God, please pour me out in this place, my life used up in Your endless cycle of grace."
That's great, Pastor Margaret. And some of the thoughts that I had as you were reading is, better is to give than to receive, better is to serve than to be served, and certainly that's what Jesus said. He came not to be served, but to serve, and we can learn from His example. Also, as we were talking before you read the devotional, I was talking about in hard times we need to live by His example and follow His example. That's not something that we can do on our own. That's something we can only do through His strength and His power working with us and within us and inside of us, to be an example to those around us and to give gratitude and to give thanks in hard times, and to serve others, even when those people might be hard to serve.
Right. And, you know, when I think about Jesus serving at the Last Supper, when someone does us wrong, the last thing we want to do is serve them. And Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that, and He chose to serve, to not treat that person any different from anyone else. He chose to just be who He was and to extend that. And I think that's so hard for us to do because we have this right to ourselves. And so often it comes up inside of us, well, why would I do that? And I said earlier, and I'll say it again, we've been bought with a price. It's not our choice. if we are truly going to walk with the Lord, He gives us some pretty good examples and some pretty straightforward teaching, like love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You know, love the Lord with all your mind. What does that mean? And we heard Sunday, Pastor Adrian preached, and he talked about, you know, that comes out of Deuteronomy 6, but Jesus added something to that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who is our neighbor? And I had someone reach out to me recently that was having to deal with someone who's broke the law, and they have to care for this person. It's a part of their job. And they ask, how do I do that? How do I serve when this person, you know, it's really hard? And this is something that comes not from our own human will. This comes from reaching into who the Lord is and asking Him to give us strength, and going to the Word, and we have to lean into Him for the strength to reach out to others. Maybe that's the way. And in the midst of that, could we be grateful that He would let us do that instead of doing it with drudgery? So as I was sharing, the Lord took me to Colossians 3, and I just want to share for a minute from there. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, always quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off on your own. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God, the Father, every step of the way. And when we have that perspective, we're not looking horizontally. We're not looking at who we see in front of us. That's not where we get our direction. We get our direction when we look vertically. We look to the Lord, and somehow He gives us what we need to extend grace, but to have a thankful heart in the middle of that. I remember early on, I'd come to Christ, and I was just so amazed that He would save me to start with, because I was such a broken mess. And it took me quite a while to realize that His salvation was enough for me too, that the blood of Christ covered me fully. And once I got a hold of that, I had been so desperate to be in relationship with Him. And I remember I was a hairstylist, and there'd be times when something would happen on my schedule, but they weren't huge things. But I can just remember saying to Him, I would just lift my eyes heavenward, and I would say, "Thank you, Lord." And it was what brought such joy to realize that He is the God who sees. That He sees us and He puts things all around us. Yes, we live in a world right now that is so full of turmoil and deceit. And the enemy is using this to even come into the lives of believers and cause some division. And I am so grateful that I serve an eternal King. And we can look and get so bogged down, but how would things be different? And how different would it be for us if we, instead of looking at everything that's wrong, giving thanks every opportunity that we have, how different would the world be?
Pastor Margaret, as you were talking, some of the thoughts that I had, specifically when you were talking about looking vertical and not horizontal, it's not so much that the person that we're extending grace to necessarily deserves it, but none of us, if you think about it, none of us deserve grace,
right.
And God gave us all grace. So it's extending the grace to others that God extended to us.
Absolutely. And having a thankful heart for that. And, you know, when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, they thought that he was going to come straight down into Jerusalem and take his place as a political ruler. And they were excited about that, but he had a much greater plan to redeem us, every one of us. And when I think of that, it makes my heart swell that we don't have to be afraid. He knows where we are. He loves us. And as we seek him, and we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be grateful for in this world. And no matter what we've been through, if we look around and we look hard enough, and we may have to say, Lord, you're going to have to show me something to be thankful for today. Maybe we can't see it right away. But a prayer that I pray often is, Lord, give me the want to see. Give me the want to do this for someone. Give me the want to have a thankful heart. And it becomes a way, I believe for Anne Voskamp, it was the way that she began to regain her life and to cultivate that attitude of gratitude. I believe that no matter what we've been through, and there are people listening today that have hurt that I can't imagine, but our God wants so much to reach through that and to bring healing. And I don't know if I've shared this story before on here or not, but there's a story that Eugene Peterson wrote about, as humans, who we are, how we were made. And he gives an example. He talks about the eagle. And so there's a baby eagle in the nest, and it's time for the eagle to fly. And the eagle, that little eaglet, doesn't know that he can fly. He just knows he doesn't want to leave this nest. And so his parents begin to peck at his feet until the pain was so intense that he had no choice but to jump from that nest. And when he did, he realized that he was made to fly, that God had given him this gift, the eagle, the gift of flight. But until he was pushed to the place where he had to do it, he didn't know what that was. And Eugene Peterson talks about us as human beings, that God made us, he created us to give. And until we learn to give, we will not truly be human. And we will not truly live until we learn to give. And what more simple way to begin that process is just to look for things to say, thank you, Lord. And out of that gratitude, begin to see how that we can give thanks to encourage other people, how we can serve him by giving. But what if we started by just having a thankful heart for the things that are right in our life, and even looking at things that happen that we know the enemy stepped in and messed something up, but God can take those things that the enemy intended for evil, and he can use them for good. And finding, as Larry Showalter said at his wife's funeral, that he stood there and he thanked God for her cancer because of the good things that came from it, her salvation. compassion. She found out how many people loved her. And he began to, from the pulpit, thank God for the things that happened because of something the enemy brought into her life because of sin, cancer. And God allowed that to be used for good to the end of her life.
That's a lot of great thoughts, Pastor Margaret. And some other thoughts that I had as you were talking was asking God maybe something as simple as help me to see people the way that you see people.
Oh, and, yes.
And having the mind of Christ. And, you know, he said he came to help the sick. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick.
Right.
And also you talked about how he loves each and every one of us. He came and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for each and every soul, that he loved each and every soul that much. And he wants to reach out to each and every soul using us to be witnesses to the people around us who don't know him.
Right. Yeah, it is a powerful thing. I pray that it gives someone encouragement today, just maybe one time today. And it may be your lifestyle, and I praise God for that. And I'm grateful that you've engaged that. And for those that maybe haven't, even looking at something that has been really tough in your life and being able to look and go, wait a minute, there is something that came from that. I was sitting at my mom and dad's the other day with my brother who lost his limb, and actually, we'd never really talked a lot about it as a family. And recently, through some illness, my mom had pneumonia, and we've been having some conversations, which is another thing I thank God for, even through her pneumonia. It's been some amazing things that have happened in our family just through even that. And we've shared some from our perspective that night. And it's been powerful. There was an accident in the community recently where a gentleman lost his leg. And my brother is so good to go every time that he hears of someone, and it could be states away, it can be miles and miles away. When he finds out that someone has lost a limb, he's going to reach out to them. There's been people in this church that have lost limbs, and I've called him and said, hey, there's somebody in UVA that just had an amputation. Would you go see him? And he's there. Usually within 24 hours, he is in that room. And so there's a gentleman from our community that lost his leg in a farming accident about 2 weeks ago. And someone came to my brother and said, hey, I'll take you over if you'll go see him. And so he went over and visited with this gentleman. And as I sat there and listened to the conversation, and as he kind of shared with us what that was like walking into that room and having conversation and being able to tell him things that are going to happen because of this life experience that this gentleman's just had, I was just amazed, and I thanked God for how he has used my brother to help so many people through such a tragic event. And I just thank God for that. And if we can look into maybe some of the toughest things of our life, what can we see? And would we want to be the person that we were before that tragic event happened? Whatever it might be for us.
Thank you, Pastor Margaret, for joining me today. And that's certainly an encouragement and lets us know that God uses our circumstances to bless others. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has been a half hour of hope for your life. God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.